Well, good morning, everyone. We do seem a little light in numbers today. Although I think everybody's back from the feast, finally. After services one day at the feast, we were walking back to our condo, and Janet said to me, "I really like that comment that the sermonette speaker used today. He said we need to be building our spiritual ark." And my first thought was, is that what the sermonette was about? It wasn't necessarily, but it was a comment that he made during his sermonette. And my wife said, "You should give a message on that sometime." So being the good husband that I am, if you want a title for today's message, it's Building a Spiritual Ark. I enjoyed Mr. Grady's sermon on science and religion. In doing the study for this message, I'm surprised that there's a lot of research done on the Noah's Ark and its shape and whether or not it happened. It amazes me that there's so many people out there in the science world who are so quickly to discredit this story, yet they're fine with the fact that we came from monkeys. I would much rather believe this story than to look at a monkey and think that that's an ancestor. So I'd like to start today in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 1 through 13 to start with here. "Now it came to pass, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man, that was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the earth. God then gave Noah a task to complete. Now, sometimes when I read through this section of Genesis, and I read the statement that, you know, God's had enough of the wickedness of man, I can't help but wonder, how far away are we from that today? How much more can there possibly be before God's going to intervene and say, that's enough. I'm sick of the situation down there. It's a question that kind of intrigues me and also gives me a little bit of fear to just wonder how much worse can things get, because I don't see a whole lot of good in this world. I'm not saying it's totally evil, but I don't see a whole lot of good in the world, and it's kind of scary to think it's going to get quite a bit worse, or that it's not to the point yet where God's ready to intervene. So God told Noah to build this ark because he was going to create this flood. And we too have been given a commission to build an ark. Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5. We're kind of given the same message here that God gave to Noah. Revelation 18, verses 4 and 5. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." The Living Bible reads, "Do not partake in her sins, or you will be punished with her." And also 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." So we need to be working on our spiritual ark, coming out of this world, separating ourselves from the evil that's around us. Are you working on your spiritual ark? Have you neglected it? Have you started it? I'm sure we've all started it. But today I'd like to look at some of the lessons from the story of Noah and things that we can use in our lives to shore up our spiritual ark. And I'm just going to get this out of the way now because I know it's going to happen. If I say Moses, I mean Noah. Somehow I feel it coming. I'm fighting it, so maybe that'll take care of it and that won't happen now. But if I do say Moses, you know I mean Noah. So first of all, what does it take to be an ark builder? Let's look at the builder of the ark. As well known as the story of Noah is, and as important as that is in the history of mankind, there's not much really written in the Bible about Noah. A few verses here or there, other than the story in Genesis where he's told to build the ark. But we are given some hints to his character. We know that Noah was a just man. 2 Peter 2:5 calls Noah a preacher of righteousness. Whether that was his profession or just kind of a side job he had while he was building the ark, I don't know, or maybe after the flood. But he's referred to as a preacher of righteousness. And we read in Genesis 6:9 that he walked with God. So we know that Noah had great character. So the first thing as an ark builder that Noah had was he saw the need for the ark. Do you see the need for your ark? If Noah walked with God and God was displeased with the state of mankind, then it stands to reason that Noah probably didn't enjoy living in the midst of where he was living, with all the chaos around him and the sin that he was surrounded with. So he saw a need for the building of the ark. What about you? Are you disgusted and sick with the attitudes and the crime and the way of life that surrounds you today? Or is it possible to just look around and say, it's not that bad. It's been worse. It's always been this way. There's always been wars. There's always been violence. Which to me is an interesting argument, because just because it's been around for a long time doesn't make it okay. In the book of the history of mankind, we only made it to chapter 6 before God was ready to reboot and start all over. Mankind is inherently evil. Today, man makes little effort to know God. In fact, it seems like they do their best not to know God or to make God be more like them. And we're on a very dangerous, slippery slope of separating ourselves from God. We consider ourselves to be enlightened, not even really paying attention to the fact that we're destroying ourselves. We make the rules. We consider what's right and what's wrong. But we are putting a great wedge between us and God. Turn with me to Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. We see a statement here by Christ speaking of the end time. Matthew 24, verses 37 to 39. "For as in the days before the flood..." "But as in the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Of course, there's nothing wrong with marrying and giving in marriage and going about our life, but you know, the people at that time, they had no interest in a relationship with God. When you think of what was being built right in front of them, and Noah was preaching to them of what was coming because of their separation from God, they had a great witness going on in front of them their whole lives, most of them. And yet they went on about their lives not thinking about developing a relationship with God as they should have been. So that's what's being talked about here, is the neglect of the relationship with God. Like Noah, we need to see the need to build this ark. Second thing about Noah as an ark builder is that Noah planned ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah started building the ark. He didn't wait to make sure God was going to do what he said. He began planning ahead. Let's turn over to Matthew 25, verses 1 to 3, just down a few verses from where we were, or 1 to 13. Here we see the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. It's a story of those who didn't plan ahead, who didn't develop that relationship with God. You notice before God asked Noah to build the ark, he already had the relationship with him. Noah was walking with him. This is what we need to be doing, is to develop that relationship with God now. Not wait until the storms hit. Not wait until the floods come, and then try to develop this relationship with God. Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They hadn't prepared. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, said, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go and buy for yourselves." And when they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, open to us." But he answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The time to develop this relationship with God, to build your spiritual ark, is now, not in the middle of the storm. So we need to plan ahead. Third characteristic of Noah as an ark builder is he was very patient. Building the ark was a big job. We don't know a whole lot about it. Like I said, there's not a whole lot of description there. But there's a hint there that it took probably about 120 years to build this ark. And possibly Noah didn't do it by himself. He may have been hiring people. He probably quite a spectacle in his day. Maybe people were setting up, you know, the little carts in front of his house or whatever, and selling trinkets and food to the workers. And it was probably a pretty good economic boom for his city. So he was very patient. I'm sure he put up with a lot of ridiculing and a lot of people thinking he was crazy. Maybe even while they were taking his paycheck from him and thought, "You crazy old coot, I'll be back Monday to help build the ark some more." Who knows? We're not really told. But I'm sure it took a lot of patience for Noah to do the task that God gave him. So don't be discouraged if things don't come together as quickly as you think it should while you're building your ark, or if things seem too hard sometimes. See, we're talking about building a relationship with God. These things take time. This is something done over years. There'll be slip-ups along the way. Noah was referred to as a just man who walked with God, but I'm sure he had sin in his life and he made mistakes that he wasn't happy with. We all do that too. But no matter what, keep building your ark. If you'll turn with me to Romans 7, Romans 7, starting in verse 14. We read, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I don't understand. What I want to do, that I don't practice. But what I hate, that I do. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I then find a law that evil is present with me, and the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." So it's a battle that we have to fight. It's a spiritual battle. We have to fight this every day. We'll look into that a little bit more as we go on. But you know, the writer here acknowledges, things don't always go the way I want them to. I don't always do what I want to do. I know what I want to do, but I don't always do it. And we're in that same boat. It happens all the time. So building our spiritual ark is going to take patience, and it's going to take time. So be patient in developing your relationship with God. The next thing about building the ark is that Noah did his part. Noah had the job to do. Genesis 6, verse 22 says, "Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." See, Noah was responsible for building the ark. God told him, "This is going to happen. Here's what you got to do." And I don't believe that, you know, he was forced to do it. We're all free moral agents. I think he could have, you know, declined to do it. It would have been disastrous results for him and his family. But he had his job to do. God didn't wake up Noah one cloudy morning and say, "Hey, there's a big boat over there behind the mountain. It's full of animals. Go, hurry up." It wasn't cloudy when he started. He had his part to do, and he did it. God gave Noah his warnings and instructions, but ultimately left it up to Noah to do the work. So that's why we are. We have to do the work. If we want to have this relationship with God, if we want to build this spiritual ark that takes us out of this world and helps us to weather the storms that hit us, we've got to put the work in. You know, Noah was over 500 years old when he began building the ark. I don't know what things were like back then, because they lived to be pretty old, 900 years or better. That still seems pretty old. Maybe he was not quite as strong as he used to be, but he had a job to do. He knew it was important. He saw the value in it, and he did it. Doing what God tells us to do isn't always easy, but it is the right thing to do. Next, I'd like to look at the ark itself, the construction of the ark. Again, not a whole lot is given as far as the exact detail of building the ark, but there is quite a bit in there that we can get a few things out of. Again, looking it up on the internet and researching some of the things about the ark, I mean, there's pages and pages of argument of, did the ark have a rudder? Because it doesn't say it had a rudder. Who cares? Where was he going? Did he need to steer it? Would you even be able to tell where you were once the earth was covered with water? People get hung up on things that they don't need to get hung up on. The ark could have been built in a way. I saw one illustration that had like a huge fin on the back of the ark where the wind would kind of turn it into the waves. And just interesting to see all the different concepts that people have. And but it's also kind of sad to see the things that people get hung up on in this story and miss the big picture. But the ark was very stable. There's an old saying that amateurs built the ark and professionals built the Titanic. Again, we don't know. Maybe Noah was an ark, was a boat builder by trade. I don't think so, but the ark may have been built by amateurs, but the designer was a professional. He was a master. Let's turn back to Genesis 6, verses 14 to 16, and we'll see some of the instructions that God gives Noah in the building of the ark. Genesis 6, verses 14 to 16. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. And we don't even know what gopher wood is. There's many different speculations as to what it is, if it's some sort of cypress or if it was something that was on the earth before the flood and isn't on the earth anymore. Maybe something that was just regional to the area where Noah lived. We don't know what gopher wood is, but Noah had the idea. God told him to make an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. It was waterproofed, of course. The pitch is, again, something we aren't exactly sure of, but some sort of tar-like substance from the earth. When you think about the building of this ark, and we'll get into the size of it here in a little bit, just the man hours to bring together the materials for this is incredible. There was a lot of preparation that went into this. Noah may have been an amateur boat builder, but I'm sure he had a pretty good set of plans and instructions to follow while he was doing this. And this is how you shall make it, verse 15. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark. You shall finish it to a cubit from above and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. So God gave very specific instructions to Noah on the building of this ark. Much more, I'm sure, than what we just read. Although what we just read gives us an idea of its size, at least. The ark was massive in size, especially for its time. It was about 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Now, I'm not real good with estimating distances and feet. Once we get over 10, you kind of lose me. So the only thing I can really compare this to is the length of it was about 1.5 football fields. 450 feet. It's a very, very long structure. The ark had a ratio of its length by its width by its height of 30 by 5 by 3. According to shipbuilders, this ratio represents an advanced knowledge of shipbuilding since it's the optimal design for stability in rough seas. Imagine that. That old amateur, what's he doing? The ark was designed by God, and it was virtually impossible to capsize. Again, there's a lot of studies out there on taking a ship of this size and different hull shapes, and if some of these studies on the shape of the ark are true, you would have had to have tipped the ark over 90 degrees before it would capsize. That's a pretty stable ship. It was not until the late 19th century that another boat was made this size. Think about that one for a minute. Just 150 years ago or less before a ship the size of the Ark was ever recreated. That's amazing when you think about it. Throughout the whole history of the earth, the Ark had a very solid foundation. Our spiritual ark also must have a solid foundation. Let's turn back to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man who builds his house on a rock, who dug deep and laid the foundation, and when the flood rose, the storm beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Is your ark founded on the rock? Do you have that solid foundation? Would rough seas come, toss your boat around, flip it over? But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I watched a video this week on Fox News or something, one of the websites of flooding somewhere in this world. I can't remember where it was, but it was interesting. They showed this stream that just, obviously it was out of its banks and flowing down the street, and it just took this house with it. This house just, it was there 1 minute, and then it was gone. Not that this person necessarily built their house wrong, but it was a good example to see the storm taking down a house. So we have to have a good foundation for our ark. So the key to the foundation is hearing and doing what Christ says. Then we'll be able to stand the trials and the storms and the waves. We'll be able to take these massive waves without being capsized. We need to build our ark to God's plans, and that is using His Word as its foundation. Our foundation should be heavily involved with prayer, Bible study, and fasting. Again, we're talking about building a relationship with God. It takes effort and time, and it is important to make sure that we have the foundation that we need. The next thing I want to look at is to be mindful of what you allow in your ark. What do you allow inside your ark? What's in your life that shouldn't be there? Just because something's widely accepted by society doesn't make it right. Do you know what SVU stands for? SVU? It's a special victims unit of a police force. They're a special unit of the police force that investigates mostly sexual crimes or crimes against children or a combination of the two. The reason I bring this up is just a reminder of how bad things are in this world. There's a TV show. It's a very highly rated TV show, very popular. It's called Law and Order SVU, in which the most heinous crimes that take place in society are played out week after week on primetime television. And again, this is a very popular show. I've never seen the show, But I've seen enough of the previews during shows that I do watch to know it's very disturbed. It's disgusting to think that someone would look at that as entertainment. What we've done is taken the worst crimes imaginable against some of the most helpless members of our society and turned it into entertainment. See, it seems to me like there was a time when if you had these bizarre, perverted, evil thoughts and you wrote them down and gave them to somebody, you probably would be committed for some sort of psychological evaluation. Because people could see you're a menace to society. There's something wrong with you if that's your train of thought. Today we take their sick, perverted thoughts and we turn them into entertainment and we give them awards for their creativity. Do you allow that kind of stuff in your ark? Sometimes the woodpeckers on the ark were a greater threat than the storms that were outside. Something to think about. The fact that a little hole can cause a lot of damage and will keep getting bigger and bigger is something that we need to work on. I read this morning, I think it was, on a news website that there's a cop somewhere, I think it's in New York or somewhere in the Northeast. He's on trial right now because they found a detailed list he had of victims that he was planning on kidnapping and cannibalizing. And he had very detailed descriptions of what he was going to do. And I'm interested to see how this one turns out because his attorneys are, of course, arguing, well, he never did any of it. It was just a fetish that he had. What kind of a society do we live in that would allow someone like that, where people would fight for someone like that to be set free? We need to be very careful about what we allow in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether or not you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? We need to be fighting a spiritual war on wrong thoughts. We're told to bring every thought into captivity. And the best way to do that is to not allow wrong things to be routinely put into our minds. Of course, we're bombarded with things all day long. You can't fight everything that comes into your mind. You can't watch the news without having evil things put into your mind. But we need to bring those thoughts into captivity and get rid of the evil thoughts. So let's wash our ears out with this. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8 is an admonishment. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. This is what we need to be filling our spiritual ark with. Things of God. That's what we need to have in our ark. At the end of Noah's journey on his ark was a rainbow and a new beginning. At the end of our journey on our ark is a new heavens and a new earth and a familial relationship with the Creator of the universe. Let's be about building our ark, maintaining our ark, and filling it with the things of God.